Why am I looking at your poo? We're still at it on Off Center, and we're joined by the Simpson Dinsex's Elliot J. O'Neill for this week's episode of...
Well, we'll just tell your mother that, we ate it all.
Here we go.
How do we sound?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, good. How are we doing, everyone?
Off Center Season 2.
Off Center Season 2.
The Great Recovery
Man,
Project.
We're just going straight into
Should
it?
Should we have a very brief catch-up? I've had a relatively interesting week.
What did you get up to this week?
I filmed an episode of You Can't Ask That.
Oh. What's that?
Yeah.
Was it about being a gay cunt? Or was
yeah. Genuinely, I'm like the trans person.
So good that you can get away with that by virtue of it being true.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm like the trans person on the lesbians episode.
Imagine if Rose like...
Really, it's a lesbian episode, not a trans episode. Oh, man.
They would have done trans already.
Maybe turn your DMs and replies off for a bit. Lesbians often aren't the biggest fans, right? If you like, yeah, I reckon you might get some stuff for this. I'm excited.
But I might get some positive stuff. Oh, you're excited for me to get abuse.
Oh, I liked the last time. I had a great time when you did tonight. No, you'll get plenty of positive stuff, and I'm sure you'll be very charming and engaging.
Are you jealous about this appearance as well?
Shut up.
God, Hastings going to call up. Why? You can't ask that for the emo special.
Why they haven't done an emo one. I just want to know why they haven't done it.
I just want to know why they can't ask that Hastings to do a whole episode about himself.
Why doesn't anyone ask Hastings?
Can someone tell me what it is?
It's like, it's a show where like they put a bunch of people...
Is it on television?
Yeah, it's on ABC. They like...
Famous show.
Like, we've had one of our guests before, Lucy B, has been on it. She was on the sex workers episode. And it's like, they either have two people or one person, like, in front of the camera, and they, like, read out questions which the, like, general public send in, which are, like, usually quite offensive.
Is it a funny show? Yeah.
So it's like...
It's like a mix of funny and serious.
So you'll see, like the archetype would be, like, you can't ask that blind people. And then, like, then it'll be blind people going, like, how do you go to the toilet? And they'll laugh and go, ha, easy, we sit down.
I do it in my pants because I can't see. You idiot.
It's a bit of a mix of, like, funny and, like, quite serious, I think.
It's very ABC. It's very Australian TV.
It sounds like it.
You know that
tone
that all Australian TV has?
Was it fun?
I enjoyed it.
Oh, have you actually already filmed it?
Yeah.
What was the biggest question? What's it like working with Andrew Hastings? Or
Mortal Comedy 1? Lesbians work with Andrew
Mortal
Hastings?
Mortal Comedy 1 or Mortal Comedy 2?
All lesbians have done two split bills with Andrew Hastings.
I don't know.
Daniel Muggleton's a lesbian.
I don't know how much I'd be allowed to say.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
When does it air?
Not until like February.
Mm-hmm. Next year?
Yeah.
Damn. All right. Well, the podcast won't be going then.
Yeah. put it in your calendar.
We'll be living.
Yeah, just at some point in February, watch the ABC.
We'll be living in a wasteland. There will be one gig a month. It will be at Crown.
February 2021, it's like either like...
The world will have ended.
Yeah. Like I'll either be dead or like... Not from my own head, just the world ending... Or, like, something would have had to have... Yeah, there's no way that this is just...
But what about when sleepy Joe Biden rides in to save the day?
Man, I can't wait, dude. You see... It's all funny because we release these, like, later.
Yeah,
as well. It's
so
like,
late.
Man, what do you guys think about Kamala Harris?
I just like that, like, everyone on Twitter who, like, doesn't have, like, a take about Kamala Harris and who isn't that funny has to be like... Good day to be Maya Rudolph. And you're just like, shut the fuck up. It's a good day to be Maya Rudolph every day. For the last 20 years, she's been on national television. Like, you think doing like a couple of guest spots at SNL, she's like, oh, fuck yeah.
Man, Maya Rudolph's going to be raking into it. You know, because of all those famous Mike Pence sketches.
Yeah. She was just in like one of the like most critically well-regarded sitcoms as a recurring player for like the last three seasons.
Maya Rudolph's a huge success and no one really gives a shit about Vice President nominee.
Exactly.
Until they look like SNL alum.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
I noticed on my walk up here, like up the stairs, because you live on the top floor of the building, Rose, I noticed a platform 9 3/4 like doormat in front of one of the doors. Have you seen that?
No.
On one of the doors.
Should we go can it?
I think we got to go egg that.
Oh, no. Actually, I have noticed that.
Yeah, I think we got to go egg that door, right?
No, we
or at least go try running into the nearby wall.
Yeah. I think
sprint into the fucking door. Dude.
I think we take the thing and say, this is for our friend Rose.
Yeah.
ABC 2021.
I don't care about the trans thing. I just think they're nerds. I just resent them being nerds.
Yeah, but it's a good way to bully a nerd for the right reasons.
Yeah, you can like kind of justify it a little bit.
Yeah. anyone that's...
Well, all four of us will go, you guys can do it for the right reasons.
Yeah, well, because now you...
for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, because now you can, like, walk around and be like, fuck Graham Lyon. And people are like, yeah, he's a transfer. And you're like, no, I just hate Father Ted. Like, yeah. It's the worst shit. British sitcoms are so fucking stupid. Yeah. And they're like,
oh, yeah.
It is
a bummer, because, like, Black Books and IT Crowd are so good.
I'm not sure that I agree.
I've never seen the IT Crowd.
I've seen them both a lot. I think that they're great when you're a teenager, and when you rewatch them as an adult, they're actually not very funny.
That's what I'd say about Black Books.
No, I reckon Black Books holds up way better than IT Crowd.
You reckon?
Yeah, it probably
I
does.
Dylan Moran that's... exhausting now. I can't handle that man.
Oh, his stand-up is exhausting.
Yeah,
that's I remember when we booked tickets and we're like all big Black Books fans, and it's like, oh, this is one morose motherfucker.
Yeah.
I saw his stand-up live a few years ago when me and Yvette hadn't been dating that long. And she really liked him. She was like, oh, let's go see Dylan Moran. And I was like, yeah. And that was great. And now I'm just like, that sucked. Yeah. Let's go to that.
I like the whole shtick of like comedians who get big for a show and then like their stand-up, like the special.
They become...
It always has like a 30-second bit where it's like, well, if you like Black Books, maybe strap in. And yeah, it's like, yeah, all right, yeah. Well, fucking like, excuse me for liking the most famous thing you're in.
I saw the guy who plays Robert on... Brad Garrett.
That's yeah.
I saw Brad Garrett doing stand up on like a JFL gala or something like that. It's like a 5-minute spot, and immediately he's like, oh, you came to see Robert. I'm talking about dry pussy or whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm here to talk about crabs.
I mean, is there anyone who's trend? I guess Patton Oswalt was on King of Queens. Like, he was a regular for all 9 seasons.
Yeah. But he was a bit of like a.
He was known as a stand up anyway.
Already.
Yeah.
Patton.
But I'm sure like Brad Garrett would maybe be like, yeah, I was hitting the fucking mics before.
I think he was like a legit
that's mine.
Comedian before he
before ELR, as we call
ELR,
it.
ELR, yeah. Yeah. I was actually working on that in acronym as you said it. I was like, what's it? Everybody. Oh, man. So what are we going to do to this transphobe/nerd's door? What's the most fitting punishment for being a nerd/transphobe?
Well, don't do I've got flaming dog shit bag because, like, I live in a building and I don't want to get evacuated.
I got an idea. What if we kick the door in as, like, a kind of symbolic, like, cutting a dick off?
I think the door is the door that on last...
What if I kicked your dick
in? Last week's episode, Kate was talking about her accidentally going in.
Yeah, so if we kicked it in, though, and then, like, the door was just, like, gone, and then it was, like, you know, like a passage, we could be like, yeah, we just fucking gave you surgery. Baby.
Oh, well, what it should be then is you.
We hold the door open at first.
Like a shopping trolley.
Yeah.
And bring it up there.
Yeah.
And make it seem
like the.
Like you're trying to do Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Like the shitty thing. They actually have like that in London, right?
There is a thing.
Yeah, they have like a trolley halfway out the fucking wall where it's supposed to have been in the book or some shit.
Mm.
Yeah, and Universal in Florida, yeah, we did that fucking Harry Potter train thing which takes you to one end of the park and yeah, they've got trolleys sticking halfway out the wall.
Yeah.
So you could do that, like cut a trolley in half, then glue it to the door.
Oh, yeah.
So then it can't open all the way.
That's not bad, actually. That's
true. Yeah.
I'll get a trolley.
The
you
door
guys
opens
do the
inwards,
rest.
Though.
Oh, right.
That's still pretty
maybe
funny.
You'd leave enough that like, you couldn't still work. Open the door, so you'd have to climb over the trolley to get out.
Yeah, it would still be a pain.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then rig it so that every time the door opens there's and the trolley's in it, it plays 96 Quite Bitter Beings. Imagine like how cool that would be for
like
1 week.
Trying to get like, out the door being like, you've mixed so many things up
here. But for 1 week, I think like someone would open it and they'd be like, and they'd be like, sick. Can't be mad.
At least one of the times it would be hard to not get into.
I'd want Wake Up by Rage Against the Machine to play every time I enter the house so I'd feel like Neo.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That'd be fucking cool, dude.
Dear, oh dear. Should we get into this? Because we have to keep it shortish
today.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome to We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Ate It All, a podcast about teen sex comedies and things thereabouts and things very much not thereabouts. It is week 8 of the Off-Center Experiment. We have gotten into season 2. Okay. So this week... Oh, no, wait. We'll get up to that part later. I am one of your hosts, Rose Piper, and I am joined by...
I'm Jamie Kirk.
I'm Andrew Hastings, and once again, I am the lead host of this podcast.
That's not how it works. And we are joined by a guest this week, a wonderful friend of the pod. We've been on his podcast, The Simpsons Index. It's Elliot J. O'Neill. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Beautiful.
Hello, Will. Elliot, have you watched Off-Center before?
No, I watched the 3 episodes, the prescribed rating, and then I sort of like scrubbed through the pilot as well just to get a vibe of that. And Yeah, one nice. Show. It's got a lot of promise.
Yeah, man.
Should we get into the first episode? Okay, yeah, the first episode is called Love is a Pain in the Ass or Love Stings. Mike decides it's time to break up with Liz, but Mike is thrown off.
So wait, they couldn't put the word ass in the title of the show, but they could say retarded three times throughout the course of the episode.
Retarded was having a renaissance, yeah. Because like you could get
a pun. Just give me a sec.
Because you could retardaissance.
Because like I think even Buffy like says that word at some point. Like,
heaps
and, like
around here,
friends
like,
and like it was
didn't become a bad word until 2015.
Yeah, but I mean like laugh track sitcoms were also doing it as like the laugh punch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where it's like Chandler was like, "Ah, Ross, you're being a retard," and Middle America loves
you reckon
it.
They ever said it on Friends?
I think they might have said it on Friends.
Yeah,
that feels totally
wouldn't be the
off.
Worst thing they said on Friends.
They might have said "smastic."
I know, like Seinfeld's definitely not right.
No, Seinfeld. Seinfeld. I think would have been before everyone's.
What's the deal with?
I don't think people were saying the word retard that wasn't the same way. When Seinfeld was on, I might be wrong, but I think maybe South Park popularized.
Well, I think that word's like it's Renaissance.
How many times are we going to keep saying it? Because
I think we're allowed to quote.
Yeah,
it, right?
I think the Renaissance would have been like 99 to about 2006.
Yeah,
maybe 7, maybe 10, actually.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to think of like when.
If you're Gerard McGowan, it's still going.
Yeah,
that's true.
He does love it.
Well, it's the second. What's the word for a second Renaissance? Does that have a word?
Second wave.
Yeah. Okay, that seems on brand. It does seem like it's having its second wave at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
speaking of second waves, I have COVID.
Oh damn.
Anyway, let's try this again. Mike decides it's time to break up with Liz, but Mike is thrown off when she beats him to it. But when the breakup sex is over the top, Mike changes his mind and tries to keep the relationship going. Meanwhile, Ewan meets a woman who is more wild in bed than he is.
Damn. Do you mean played she does by, more than missionary?
Played by the brief character in Scrubs, Gift Shop Girl.
Yeah. And lead in What About Brian, starring the adult guy from Seventh Heaven.
I like, right. Did it just
the pedo guy?
Barry Watson, the older son.
Oh, right.
Did that Wikipedia...
Could still be a pedo, who knows?
And he's in Chuck, and she's in Chuck, obviously.
Oh, thank you.
It's Chuck's sister.
Right.
That was breaking my brain.
Did that Wikipedia article just say that the sex between Liz and Mike post-breakup was over the top?
Yeah. I think they were trying to say it was like
very
really
good,
but...
Yeah. Well, it's funny.
Well worded.
It is funny that, like, in every context except sex, the phrase "over the top" means like above, too much, beyond. But if you were to be like, "Yeah, it was over the top," it's like that means it was like the top stayed on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose.
You'd be like,
so.
"Yeah, I got some over the top action." It's like, oh. Whereas, like, it's like, man, it was over the top in any other context.
Oh, right. You're talking about, like, physical clothes.
Physically, maybe, you only hear the phrase "over the top" to mean...
So, you're saying
you're
that they're...
OTT instead of OTB over the bra.
So, mean, you're... That's in, the point five.
So, basically, if you're reading this Wikipedia thing literally, you just think, like, Mike and Liz have broken up and they're like, let's go dry hump.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's the hottest thing we can do.
Over the top. It's like, all right.
And that's what makes him be like, whoa, I made the wrong choice here.
Well, he's broken like, off. Yeah, you can't expect.
Of course, for such a piece of shit like Mike as well, dry humping, he'd probably be like, "I've never felt anything like this before." The cool feeling of denim against my shaft, my uncircumcised shaft.
Didn't know I had a thing for zips rubbing against me, but there we go.
I mean, you know, I've only had breakup sex once.
I've had heaps. I've had so much.
I mean, I've had it once, but like, no, I've had it. I've had it once, but like a year or two later.
Can I say
that doesn't count?
I had it like she moved out on the Friday, and then we had it on the Tuesday.
Dude,
it's
the weirdest R&B song ever.
Yeah. Dude, I gotta say, it's all like breakup sex is like unreal. It is truly. The
it
best.
Was like maybe the best sex
it's
we've
like
ever
the,
had.
Like, it's crazy. It's like. Yeah, my old girlfriend, like, sex had been boring for, like, a year before we broke up. And then as soon as we broke up, it was like, I guess this is the best thing ever. Like, I guess that, why weren't we fucking like this the whole time? Maybe, you know, very upsetting.
Maybe we should hate each other more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this episode was probo as shit.
Mm-hmm. Like, was it? I don't remember.
The runner with Chow in this episode was just to call everything gay.
Yeah.
Which is so bad.
It's
like,
also
it wasn't even funny.
But it's also 2002.
Yeah, but
and, but the
like
joke is predicated on that. Like, I think that he doesn't
understand what gay means.
Yeah.
He's calling stuff with girls. It's like the Jimbo Nelson joke.
Yeah.
You kissed a girl that is so gay. Similar to that.
What's that from?
It's from the episode where Lisa and Nelson date. It's one of great episodes.
Lisa's date with density.
Yes.
Yeah.
That would come on, you should know that.
What? From what show, sorry?
Oh, cunt.
There's some kind of podcast. Okay. There's a fucking ton of podcasts about him.
Yeah. Do you get a bit burnt out by it?
Oh, fuck yeah. Like, it's hard to watch Simpsons casually now. Like,
yeah.
But, it's fine. It'll be over in a year.
Yeah, Simpsons, I still, like, it's good to have it there as if you don't know what to put on, just put it on.
Particularly
if you're with the boys.
Mm. Oh, it's
great for that.
Great comfort food. Throw it on in the background,
Oh, yeah. Do you know what I think the ultimate comfort food is?
This show.
Oh, God.
Pussy. The boys. Weed.
Sandwiches.
Okay, there
like
we
bread,
go.
I like cheese. Carbs, generally.
You're just like, pussy.
I love eating pussy.
Sometimes I think Gemma goes and gets in the shower so she doesn't have to listen to us.
No, yeah, it's to watch the dirt.
Just feel dirty from overhearing.
Yeah. I know what I am.
I don't know. I liked all three of these episodes.
Dude, really? I gotta say, this is my take. I think that season two of the show is so much better than season one.
For the first time,
I think it's kind of figuring it out.
Well, is this them doing their breakup sex? Like they know they're getting cancelled. Like they clearly know in this episode they're getting cancelled.
I want to ask about that. So there's the weird meta jokes about the show getting cancelled.
Yeah.
Do you guys know the backstory? So at this time, did they know it was getting cancelled?
I don't think. But I don't think they knew they were getting cancelled. But I think they knew the writing was on the wall.
Is it kind of like the Arrested Development thing where it's like the please tell your friends?
Yeah, sort of shit? I think so.
Yeah, right. Because it's like they.
See, that was one of the better things that the show's done. But overall, I thought these episodes still stunk. And
I think it's so close to figure it out.
No, close. I think what you think, you think that, but what's actually going on is...
Tell me what I think.
We're getting so close to the end that you're happy it's almost over.
Not at all.
And it's easier to watch.
The only reason I disagree about that is because this is the first time that I was like, fuck, I wouldn't mind watching the next one.
Dude, same.
Really?
I kind of let the fourth one run for 5 minutes before I was like, oh, wait, that's right. I'm not.
Yeah, I was like, we got to save these now.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to admit, I liked three.
I liked two the best.
That was the fucking worst.
No,
man.
I liked two.
Well, I thought the
we'll
show.
We'll get to two. We'll talk about two when we get to
two. Everything apart from Ewan's got a spunky new haircut.
I was definitely.
It does look
the
better.
I also
think
it's a softer haircut for a softer rebooted Ewan.
Yeah,
Ewan's the best character on the show now.
Exactly. They've completely changed Ewan, and it works. Like,
all three of the episodes, Ewan is funny and gets to be funny, physical. He gets to use his goofy face to be goofy. Yeah.
But also, to refute your point, Rose, when I first saw the first couple shots of season two, I was really rolling my eyes because they changed something in the production or something.
I think their apartment
looks
a bit different.
No, I think what it is the recording quality is different.
Yeah, that's what production says.
Because it was French.
Mm. Yeah,
it was
on
some, probably Canadian TV.
It was
TV.
The title was Sexy E-Dependence or something.
Yeah,
It also I think I'm not sure if this is, it might be, it physically, what's on the screen looks different. It's they're showing the characters closer up or something.
Yeah, there was something with the apartment in the very first shot.
It seems more like a real TV show now. But what is because of that combined with the haircut, I was like, "Oh boy, season two, this is gonna suck."
This isn't the fucking off center you thought you were watching.
This ain't your granddaddy's off center.
They've made Mike more unlikable, but they're not being shy about it, and they've made Ewan a much better character. Ewan's way funnier now. I actually laughed in a couple of.
See, to this point, Ewan is better. But they ruined Chow.
I disagree.
No,
I
think Chow is the second best character
in this.
I think, unfortunately, the bad thing I will say about it is I don't think they know what to do at all with Mike anymore.
No, yes, I agree with that.
It's so true. They know he's not the lead. They know Ewan's kind of the functional lead now because he has big, funny plots in all of them.
They're getting
Mike just kind of
status.
Yeah, Mike kind of just winds his way through the three ones.
It's why I kind of went back to the pilot as well, just to sort of have a quick look at that, because what's fucking Shipbreak's name again? Eddie K. Thomas.
Mike.
His character just seems so ill-defined.
Yes.
And he, as an actor, feels like he's too good to be there. Maybe I'm projecting or something, but I don't know. He also seems a bit drunk.
It's not that like, he's too good to
be.
His acting in the show is fucking terrible.
I think his acting steps up a little in season two, but they're still having problems with the character.
The one thing I think is that like he seems like he would be more suited to like a 2008 FX dark sitcom.
Yeah.
That's not like Laugh Track where he gets to like kind of something like what's the fucking dog suit one that's based on the Australian show?
Wilfred.
Yeah, like that. Wilfred's like great. He could have been in that with Chris Klein, who is awesome in that show.
Chris Klein is in Wilfred?
Yeah, he's like the dumb boyfriend of the object of affection. And he's very funny in it.
The other change I noticed was because you'd think that if they're like, because they're clearly going, okay, see, like we're going to take a break, make some changes, see what the show's like, you know, rejig some stuff. One thing that was interesting is they seem to be going harder with the edgy shit, with the like, you know, rude stuff. You know, in this episode, there's like literally a whole storyline about pegging.
Yeah.
And also like the word retarded, there's a whole scene where they say retarded a bunch. There's the, you're like, it seems to be going a bit more.
And the vomiting in episode one. I got to say, I've usually got a lot of problems with like TV and movie vomit. I like the vomit in this episode.
Yeah.
I thought it looked really good. Yeah. The vomit.
I never find vomiting funny.
No?
No. It's
very serious business for Rose.
but I also have like a pathological fear of being vomited on. So it's just like...
Why? It rinses right off.
It is gross.
It's really gross. I did get vomited on at the footy once.
Yeah, we've all been vomited on from time to time.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah. I think maybe
I came and met both of you after I did that. I'd been at the footy and then I had to just like carry my coat around, balled up in my hand.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Maybe I've just dated more like just...
I've probably talked about it on the pod before.
Maybe I've just dated more just like messy ass women than you guys, but I've been vomited on heaps of times.
Probably.
I've got so much vomit on me.
That makes sense.
You got a punch card for it or something?
Yeah, absolutely.
I got vomited on at a McDonald's birthday party when I was 3 and I think that forever shaped
That'll do it.
Yeah.
That's a pretty bad vorm.
Yeah, especially because I think the kid who vomited on me, his mum had given him like whatever, 1992 era McDonald's coffee.
Oh.
You're like, what are you doing that for?
Yeah. Why?
Who knows?
Hook him up a bit. Get him socializing with the kids.
Yeah. Man, caffeine is bad for you.
The mic sucks in these three. The other thing that sucks is that they've given Liz this new reboot, but she sucks, and they don't know what to do with her still.
Yeah,
because it's all still related to Mike.
Yeah, well, you got to push through a few episodes to get through the breakup shit.
Yeah,
and then, like Liz could come into her.
But it's like even then, like the one where she's Liz is where she takes a dump, but like that's still.
That's funny. I like that.
Yeah, it's funny, but it's still tied to like ruining Mike's chances with another girl. Yeah. Like, there's nothing that she gets to do and have fun.
That's true.
That being said. Status Quo is used a lot better in these episodes.
He was just using a lot more, I think.
Yeah, but apart from the fact that, like, he should be gay. Like,
yeah,
he should
definitely be
like,
gay.
That seems like the right thing. Like,
I guess they jumped in immediately and then immediately abandoned the status and Liz being an island.
No, I don't think so.
I think it's going to come back.
I
think they'll return to it.
But I do think that I did like the idea that he showed up shirtless with oil on him and then he couldn't get back into his house.
That's funny.
Because
but
he
also,
had oil
him,
on him.
Like, chasing after Liz like that is a pretty drastic change of his character. Because he, like, plays the, like... big dog rapper guy, but like normally he'd be quite sensitive.
Well, I think the gag, but the thing at the end of the first season was it was like, oh, maybe there's a, you know, status has maybe caught some feelings. But then season one, episode two, status is like, I'm gonna fuck her.
And then season two, episode one.
Yeah. Let's talk about the breakup though. They made the call we've been begging for. We've been screaming out for it here. We'll just tell your mother we ate it all HQ.
We didn't know it was coming.
I didn't.
Yeah.
Didn't we tell you it was coming?
No.
I don't listen
when either of you talk.
But
yeah, I know.
It does feel like
my thoughts are so interesting.
It does feel like
a lot of very good criticism.
It does feel like the closest thing that they have to acknowledging, like, we're rebooting this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because
there's a clear reboot.
Because also, like, I agree with you that they went harder on the edgy stuff, but for some reason this go around it wasn't as noticeable to me. Like, they're talking about like pegging and stuff, because it's sillier, which the first season wasn't.
Do you know what it might be that it's funny.
Yeah.
Funniness is like the ultimate, like that's the whole thing. Funniness eases
The first season was solely like, ooh, butt butthole. Yeah, poop, yeah, yeah. Poop, 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 poop.
The attraction was that they were saying butthole, whereas now the attraction is the joke about buttholes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Did you look up any of the sex things to see if they were real?
I assumed they were fake.
But you know how some people can, like, reverse engineer that sort of shit?
Yeah. One of my favorite ones was, yeah, just on Urban Dictionary. I think they called it, like, an Alabama snowplow or something. And it's just like, you probably thought this was a sex act. It's nothing.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of our favorite comical sex acts. Let's talk about some
Urban Dictionary.
The Dirty Sanchez. We got the classics. You got your Dirty Sanchez, your Blumpkin. Yeah, what else we got?
Urban Dictionary was...
Blumpkin's horrible. What's that, Rusty Trombone?
Rusty Trombone's pretty funny. I think I've even... Rusty Trombone's, like, pretty normal. It'd just be crazy to call.
To reach
trombone.
Around while eating an ass.
Yes.
No, I thought it was the other way around. I thought it was a finger in the butt while you're giving a gulp.
No.
Okay, what do you call what I just said? Saturday.
Fun.
I hate it because I love that kind of joke.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I mean, anyone graduating high school like before 2006 with an Urban Dictionary login will like have seen so many of them. One of my favorite was Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah,
it's clearly like one that just one guy's invented, where it's like you stick your balls in someone's pussy, so it's like they're going down a pipe, and you have to make the sound effect.
Yeah,
there's no way this is real.
Did you ever listen to Big Boy's like first solo album?
Yes,
it's like there's that little sketch bit in it where he talks about one called the David Blaine.
Man, we're getting real deep cut.
Which is like, which is really like
sketches.
It sounds kind of funny in it, but then you're like, oh, that's assault.
I think I know this as the Houdini. Go on.
I know the Houdini. Yeah, I was going to bring up the Houdini.
He's just like, you fucking go from behind, you run out, your friend slide in, you knock on the window and wave. And you're like, that's right.
Is that what you think the Houdini is? Okay, yeah. I know the Houdini is something else, and it's also a form of assault, but maybe not quite as... But it's still rough.
Well, this is straight up rape.
So this one is, you're having sex with a girl from behind, you pull out just before you come, and you spit on her back. So she thinks you've come.
Then when she
turns around, you come to face. It's so
why
gross.
Is that
horrible.
Why is that Houdini?
I don't know. It's just what I was told it was called.
Anyway, that's
there's
horrible.
There's also so the Poudini.
Oh, no.
Which is where you take a dump and you look down and it's like, it's gone. How did it already disappear?
Yeah, I've done that heaps of times.
That's more relevant in a couple of episodes, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, sometimes you do like a dense shit and it'll just... Like the weight will just carry it through, you know... The pipes.
Does anyone have any last thoughts on this episode?
I might. Let me just...
The meta stuff was really hack. I thought it was just so shoehorned.
They were mugging
there.
Real hard on it, weren't they? It was real like...
I think they didn't quite...
It wasn't a wink.
They may as well have been staring down the barrel of the
they
camera.
They didn't quite know how to do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you made the comparison to Arrested Development before and the way they tied that in with that like fake fundraiser within the thing and
Ewan,
so far away from that.
Ewan being into pegging's interesting. Because
they didn't really specifically say that it was.
No, they do. They like it's. He says, "I think I'm gay now," and also he's limping, and it's.
There's also a lot of euphemism.
Well, that just implies something.
Like it's something involving. Like, and he even says, "I've had girls tickle me Elmo before."
Yeah, which I thought was fun.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a funny line.
I did pop for that. That was pretty good.
But I mean, it's like, whatever it is, it's something. It might not be pegging with a strap on, but there's something being inserted into his ass.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, that's the way I took to pain.
Yeah. There was also a thing with jumper cables, the glass Marvin or some shit.
Yeah. Blind... I assume that was hooking him up to
blind
his nips.
Marvin.
I've used electricity in sex before. It was pretty cool.
He's natural electricity.
Every time I have sex,
I've
it's
used,
electric.
Like, a thing that
we're at the same place.
Yeah, I use a taser.
It was okay, I guess.
Shall we move on?
Yep.
Done. Okay, the second episode we watched was called Cockfight.
I love this episode.
This episode was dog shit.
This episode's like,
so bad.
Like, I think...
Let me get through the thing. You and a status quo meet a woman at a bar and fight each other for her attention. When they learn she has a twin, they compete to see who can sleep with both. Mike bets on cockfights with Chow in order to make money for Liz's birthday present.
Oh, yeah. I like this one.
It was terrible.
This is my favorite episode of the sitcom so far.
Fucking what?
Yeah, this, this was really bad.
I thought it was really funny.
It was really bad.
Dude, this is nowhere near as good as the third episode.
Oh, man.
I thought they all got better as they went on, and the third episode was the best of the three. But I laughed in this one a few times. It's like some dumb stuff, but
I'll make my case. All right. I think that the status versus Ewan... to sleep with the twins. When it's like the obviously the obvious humor in like such an easy problem to solve, and they're both too selfish to just go for the obvious solution.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Especially when there's four of them.
Yeah, that is. Well, I'll say that. But yeah, that whole thing with Status and Ewan sort of like. It reminded me of like the episodes of 30 Rock with Tracy and Jenna, where they're friends, but then they suddenly turn on each other at the slightest hint of friction. Yeah. I enjoyed that about them. I enjoyed like their dynamic as like the two sort of alphas of this group of losers. I thought it was kind of cool, but also like just two dudes. Like it's an easy, simple comedy situation. Like just as a comedy premise, two guys who are both pretty slick, like you know, competing and like getting their desire to win beating out their desire to actually have sex. And then the final joke where, guys, this is the perfect solution. There's two sets of twins, everything we've ever wanted. Ewan going, there was a particular line read which like really got me. Like I properly laughed at it.
I thought Sean McGuire was fantastic.
He's really good in this episode. Yeah. I thought.
Who's Sean McGuire, sorry?
The guy who plays Ewan.
And Jason George's Status.
Yeah. Because we've had a lot of problems with Sean McGuire through the show.
Yeah.
As he like kind of figured out
how to
do stuff.
He's like the worst part
stuff.
Of the show for all season one, pretty much.
Yeah.
He's great in this.
I think having watched the entire season one now, Mike is the worst part of the show.
I agree with that now.
By far.
Yeah.
Well, that's like my takeaway from this whole experience of watching these episodes is that like the fundamental problem seems to be Mike. Like, there's lots of other problems with the writing and shit.
They shouldn't have given him a sitcom.
No. fuck no. Like, and I don't know. Like, yeah, his shitty acting, ill-defined character is just so ill-conceived. Like,
can I tell you the line that made me laugh though?
Yes.
So it's the scene where the second set of twins shows up. Ewan and Status have the side meetings. Everything we ever wanted, we could take a pair each or, you know, do it like a parfait or whatever. Funny joke. Then as soon as Status goes away, obviously he steals all four girls. Maybe this was dumb of me. I genuinely didn't see that coming, which I should have.
Yeah.
That is like an obvious joke. It just didn't occur to me. But then, and that probably added to it. But the line is, he's got, okay, we got to go before Status gets back and the girls are just going with him. There's a line read where, and it's like a bit dark and sinister, but it made me laugh where the girl just goes, you're hurting my arm. He just wants to shh. It makes it so clear that the character's goal wasn't to have sex with twins. The character's goal was to beat Status.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what he was like that. At the end, they're going, when he goes, oh, this we never even wanted to fight. We both just wanted to have twins and threesome. It really like lays it all out what the character's motivations were.
Yeah. And also, like, what I like about that episode is that, and like, towards the
like
beginning,
the
setup. It acknowledges that, A, it never pairs them together.
Yep.
Like, it hasn't even tried over the course of a season.
Yeah.
And, B, like, kind of acknowledges that they're kind of the similar archetype.
Absolutely. They're the two alphas of this group.
And them debating over who was more alpha, I thought was a good use of them.
Two poor guys, two rich guys, two guys who fuck, two guys who don't fuck. Yeah.
I think the best thing that I did with those two was like all the physical comedy that they did because, Hastings, back to your point about like Jenna and Tracy, it's like they were like still being friendly but like gently shoving each other out of the way.
Purple.
And there was some good physical comedy with that, but I don't know, the material was kind of...
Yeah, the only thing I really liked was like when the first twin showed up and they immediately hugged and were like, oh, what have we been fighting about? Like, that's funny.
The B-plot with the cockfighting, you know, a long-term animal rights care about person. I haven't eaten meat.
A long-time animal rights care about
person.
Well,
I didn't want to say advocate or anything because that implies I do anything.
Yeah.
I just care. I do care about animals.
Then they'll come
We're
for
not
you.
People for the ethical treatment of animals. No, we're not. General animal carer person.
I just care about the GMC.
Sorry, does anyone want another beer?
Yeah, man. The
I can
only
probably have one more.
I'm claiming right now is that I care about animals and have for, and I'm on record as having done so for quite some time. Cockfighting, one of the worst things a human being can do. However, this B-plot...
I think dog fighting's worse.
Yeah, probably. I think just worse. The smarter and more sentient the animal it is, the worse it gets, it goes up. Which
I don't know.
UFC is the worst fighting.
I don't know. The monkey fighting is probably more amusing.
It's probably
than
more
dog
natural
fight.
For the monkeys. Depends what kind of monkey, I guess.
Or ape.
But I mean, they've done monkey knife fights on The Simpsons.
I like you using a Simpsons joke to reference the
Yeah,
Simpsons.
I know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, if anyone missed that visual cue, he put the hand up.
It was
up
the
to
Mr. Black joke.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah. I was doing
Oh, right. Because I remember it's Mr.
Black.
The same joke.
Yeah. It's still funny.
Mr. Black. That's how I am.
Yeah, I would say that the chimp fighting is funny and the cock fighting.
The argument is...
Especially because it's a cartoon.
Yes.
The argument that... I thought we were talking about what was more morally reprehensible. Because, like, the argument for why UFC is...
Fracking.
Okay.
RuPaul.
RuPaul.
If that is your real name.
What is RuPaul's real name?
I don't know. Let's get RuPaul to get that birth certificate.
RuPaul
out.
Charles.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it might be.
I'm a RuPaul birther.
if it's not what he was born as, it like probably had it legally changed.
Yeah. No, what I say is the argument for why the UFC is okay, but cockfighting and dogfighting isn't, is that humans can consent to that and animals can't. However, monkeys, I'd be interested to do some research on.
What to see.
Yeah. Also, the monkeys wouldn't listen to a referee. And I don't really want to see a monkey get its face torn off.
No,
anyway,
it's not.
So, the point, I think Chow as, like, a cockfighting guy, that's... It really suits him, I think. I think that really worked. He's acting all obnoxious. He's super passionate. He's hyped up. He's, like, you know, he's on this hot streak because he's got this thing going on. And then on top of that, the parade of dick puns was pretty good.
Yeah, like, I
like it. I thought they were cute. I thought they were like...
And also, like...
It's a 20-minute sitcom.
For a laugh track...
I'm watching Nanette here.
Yeah, like. It's a laugh track sitcom. Secondly, it's from 2002.
Absolutely.
Three, it's from the people who do America. Like, it's a much cuter and better use of anything they did in the first season.
A show that has a reputation... Like, a part of the joke is that the show has a reputation, or is at least trying to cultivate a reputation for being edgy. So there's, like, a meta gag of, like, yeah, sure, there's these puns. The meta gag is, oh, what can they get away with?
Man, if I was 16 and I heard on network television someone being like, nice cock, I would have been like, this is the greatest show I've ever
seen. It's also like puns.
Well, I probably did think that when I watched it when I was younger, but now I'm like,
none of us are huge, like, pun people far as I know. But, like, puns can be deployed well. Like, Arrested Development uses a billion of them. Like, Arrested Development, and that's, like, maybe the best sitcom ever.
Yeah.
Like, it's the intelligent use of them that's, like, whatever. It's not... It can't be the whole joke.
But that's why I think this isn't the good version of that. It's just like... like, beating you over the head.
Yeah, but the meta joke is, it's like, what can the show... Not... Meta's too generous, but the...
That was the thing that I had the problem with. Is that they look what we're being cut cheeky.
I don't hate that. I
found that much more charming. That they, instead of being like, it's fucking rude, they were like, oh, look at us.
He's a great cock handler.
I don't know. They just seem to force some of those in there.
They go, oh, it's a rooster. And he goes, no, it's a cock. That's what they call it. Just a reference that there's been all these, like that no one's used the word rooster yet. In
But like, they're saying shit like riding that cock all night. It's like, that's a stretch.
But again, at least
that's the gag, isn't it? The further they stretch, the more risky it is, because the more clear what they're doing.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, I guess from not having seen the other episodes, Elliot, there's like, it seems like they're genuinely having fun with it, whereas before it just would have been like, it's a fucking dick, it's a dick, all right, like, fucking look at the dick.
I think part of the problem that I had with it, and you don't agree, I believe, but this felt just again like, oh, you've ruined Chow's character. So I didn't enjoy it on that basis.
No, I think the
I think they've gone too far. Like, Chow being an eccentric is very funny, but they've taken it too far.
I think Chow,
and now he's
bonkers. I disagree. I think maybe that's the fundamental disagreement here. I think Chow is like, he's the Kramer of the show.
Yeah, I think
I was just about to say to fucking one episode where he's accidentally a pimp. Like,
I think they're working towards Chow as like Chow equals wild card.
Yeah,
versus
that's exactly
that might be like the difference between what we've been doing in the writers' room, which is like, it's 2020 cool woke Chow who fucks, who's also like sensitive to people. Like, he was never that.
Well,
like, that's what we want him. We want him to be that because we like John Cho and we think he deserves better.
Yeah.
So, like, the fact that they're going real wacky with his proclivities is probably better than, like, him just being, like, boobs.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
I'm not
saying cockfights are better than boobs, but in a roundabout way, I am.
I don't know how you'd say it in sitcom writing, but in wrestling, you'd say, if I had the book, like, if I was the showrunner, Chow, I'd be definitely pushing for Chow to be the fucking, like, the psycho, the, not psycho, but, like, the the on edge, he could do anything. Wild card Kramer. He's like, he's also because he's like, what's his name?
John Cho.
Okay, Chow is the character. Chow's the man. That's yeah. where the, okay. And Cho Chang's from Harry Potter.
Correct.
Okay. It's so funny that she named the one Asian character that. I know that's a cold-ass take, but that's so funny that in Harry Potter there's a character called Cho Chang and it's the only Asian character in 7 books.
That is a cold-ass take, yes, you're right.
Fine, all right, we'll let someone else take it for a minute.
So how was it like wrestling, though? Because I'm kind of interested because you guys have been...
I was trying to work out the non-wrestling way to say if I had the book. If I was the showrunner, the way you say it.
Oh, because you guys have been rewriting the show. I'm interested in turn off-center into SmackDown.
Oh, man, I would love to.
I think the idea being now that Chow, you can put in any sitcom plot and he plugs in.
Yeah.
Kind of works for me.
John Cho's such a star. Like, he's like, if you're going to give the meaty, like, big acting, big crazy performances, all that shit.
Like, I guess the thing we were doing is pushing him more towards, like, romantic leading man. But also, like,
It is a comedy at the end of the day.
Yeah, true. But, like, then, like, some people might be like, man, they took fucking fun, wacky, happy-go-lucky Chow, and they just pushed him into the fucking Mike White guy. You can go two ways with that. Yeah. Like, some people might be like, hey, it's like bad to make him this fucking cartoon.
We're true to ourselves and follow the laughs. We should be chasing the lols, you know?
Well, I mean, they should probably be doing that with Chow.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. If he got the funniest actor in the show, he should be getting the most jokes.
Yeah. And in the end, he did rescue the cock.
That's true.
Well...
I mean, he threw it out a window.
I think the best...
But it's also like that gag there, kind of shitty. But like that's, I think, one of the only attempts in... How many episodes is this? 24, maybe?
24.
Yeah. One of the only things where they're like...
Life really is just what you do with your time, isn't it?
Where it's like...
that 24 was just said with the pure exhaustion.
Yeah. Of someone... even done 24 at fuck. But it's like, man, I could have...
There's four left.
But it is
built something.
But it is but it is one where like...
could have reviewed 500 episodes of The Simpsons.
I could have spent time with my wife. I could have like...
But it is like... I think... I don't know... I'm probably wrong, but that feels like one where it's like, oh, fuck, they're trying to do the thing where the plots interconnect, which doesn't happen much in off-center.
This show's kind of bad at that, actually, the making things loop together at the end.
I think they're trying to get better at it.
The pee-pee doc thing was, like, the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought this... So, yeah, I was going to give my final thoughts, but I don't want to do that prematurely.
No.
No, you should give your final thoughts.
I had so little to say.
We are running out of time.
My final thoughts on that episode was, I think, the cockfighting storyline was great because we got plenty of John Cho, and I think you and Status was, like, that was sick. I thought it was, like, pretty funny. I was getting actual laughs. I thought this was tight. Just as, like, a standard simple... Because, like, the problem compared to episode 3, and we'll talk about... why it is this way in a minute, obviously. But episode 3 is like feels like a bit of a special episode, right? With Carmen Electra, it's like
yes,
like,
yeah.
This is like that's exciting and this cool heisty kind of shit or whatever. This one, it was like, this is a stock standard. This is just a regular episode of the show. And I was like, they're kind of getting to it. They're kind of figuring out the formula. They're kind of getting closer to it. It's a few more episodes, it could get there.
Mike and Liz, weak point though.
I'm with Rose.
What's Liz even doing in this episode? I can't remember. Liz, she's fucking the hot guy.
She just fucks some dude. Yeah.
Yeah, that's dog shit.
Yeah,
I don't think women are allowed in TV.
This show's doomed. There's no way it would ever get good. Episode 3. Okay, it was called Unflushable, or M. Night Shyamalan's Unflushable. Mike wows the guys when he leaves the bar with
it would have been a year after Unbreakable
tenant Carmen Electra. However, Mike's new diet causes him to clog her toilet and enlists Ewan and Chow to help clear it up. Now, I love farts and shits and all that sort of stuff, but this wasn't that good.
Oh, it was all right.
I disagree.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I was with you on the last one, but this one, I'm like, yeah, good.
I've seen much better farts and shits stuff.
I had to save this clip because it fucking just left me in such hysterics. Hold on.
Okay.
Why are you making me look at your poo?
Just Carmen Electra staring down a toilet seat. Why are you making me look at your poo? Okay. That is wonderful. She got paid to say that.
That's quite funny, and we should get a soundboard.
I do. And again, like, there are three or four scenes where they look at the poo, and they kind of buck sitcom conventions by like just having them all like look and comment relatively calmly instead of being like, shit, oh, dude, no. Like, the bathroom is my sanctuary. Like, everyone's just like, that's a poo, which I kind of liked.
Yeah.
I did like when the three guys were looking over the toilet and Chow, like, wishing he could claim it.
Like, I remember, like, it would have been like, fuck, like 3 years ago, maybe. But I was on a Tinder date and I just like wrecked this chick's bathroom. And I was like texting the Powerbomb group chat, being like, guys, I have fucked this.
Were you calling up and like, they,
no, I got or, it out. Asking, it
just, we like, broke is there Pop-Puri? Is there,
we it broke into the girl's house.
What I did. Like.
Go and steal a coat hanger.
It's also like, speaking of like, good Ewan.
My girl was cool.
I did like when they're in Carmen Electra's house at the very end, they get the photograph and he's like, he's on the way out and they're being sneaky and then he does a very muggy kind of pose.
Yeah.
It's also like, man, like, it's, you don't want to question the reality of this show, obviously. Like, not the reality of how the shit would work. Like, because, you know, again, I've not eaten meat in quite some time. I know all about these sort of things. High fiber. I've done high and low protein. It all affects everything different ways.
High fiber.
Is that funny? That's all right.
That's okay.
If this show came out in 2007,
oh, that absolutely would have been in there.
It would have been the best joke.
My shite.
Yeah, that's not bad. But like, okay, it's like, it's
Carmen
not
Electra going, you'll never get this.
And this is important. For the, it's not the, it's not a character played by Carmen Electra that Mike is gonna have sex with, but then does too big a shit. It's Carmen Electra. It's the person Carmen Electra.
At the height of Carmen Electra.
At the height of Carmen Electra. And like, oh man, what year did this come out? 03?
Yeah.
02. I was, man, Carmen Electra. When I was 12 years old, Carmen Electra.
I had FHM posters of Carmen Electra like in my room.
Would you say you jerked off and then you were Carmen Electra?
I would say that I was wishing I was Dave Navarro.
Or Dennis Rodman.
Oh, man, please. Dennis. Former... No, Chicago he never won Bull. The title in WCW.
No, that was David Arquette.
Please, don't talk to me about David Arquette winning the title earlier. I can talk to you about
it. Yes, please, don't talk to him about that.
Not now.
But no, Rodman was
Evil
with the
Harry
NWO.
Evil Harry tweeted to me about it. Like, what do you think about David Arquette winning the title? I'd be like, David Arquette's actually sick. Fuck off.
They talked briefly about Rodman going and doing WCW stuff in that Last Dance documentary.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He, like, missed trainings and shit because of it, right?
He missed games because of it, I think.
Fuck, that's key.
Well, because it wasn't just doing wrestling. He was going out and fucking partying with them and shit.
It's
too.
Also the
doing
money...
rails with Hogan.
WCW at the time as well, forever, the entire 90s almost, but WCW was handing out, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars per appearance event.
Yeah.
Ted Turner was just a wrestling fan and a billionaire and was just dropping money. It's actually, like, so...
Wasn't he not a fan? He just thought that he could make money from it?
No, Ted Turner was a fan. He's like, that's why WCW lived as long as it did. It would have gotten cancelled in like 99 without Ted Turner.
But yeah, basically when they ousted him and the board of directors or whatever, that's when
they were
finally
it was when they fired him, basically. Right. I'll lend you Death of WCW sometime. You'll love it.
It's so good.
Nah. It's really good.
It's the only book I've read in the last 5 years.
Man, maybe the same.
And Fleece book.
I've got that. I've got that at my house. Mine and Rose's friend Hannah.
There's a scar tissue too.
It is. I'm like, this is...
The other one.
You know how they did a Twilight book from Edward's perspective?
Yeah.
This is that. This is that for the Red Hood. This is that for scar tissue. It's like, well, it's that, but it's from Flea's perspective.
I reckon scar tissue is the book read most by people who've never read any other books.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
That it, like, hits number ones on all the airport charts, you know?
Still.
Everyone just goes, yeah, I know Californication. Like, I've heard that song. But no, the point I was going to make about Carmen Electra is like, man, because in this world, it is a literal man, literal, like a loser like that guy, literally about to have literal sex with
you have sex with
Carmen
her and
Electra.
Leave the shit in the toilet.
I would either do that or I would fucking scoop it out with my fucking, I don't care.
I'd eat the shit.
Whatever, like, it's Carmen Electra.
I'd pick the shit up and eat
the fucking it. Window. Like, who
dude,
cares?
Isn't that like a famous story on the internet of like someone couldn't flush a shit in like their new girlfriend's parents' house or whatever, so they just threw it out the window?
Yeah, man, absolutely.
I would try
there was a Tinder date one as well
whatever,
where the
it's Carmen Electro. I would. In 2008, you'd cut off your fucking arm for it.
Man, like, I want to hear your shit story.
No, there was a story a couple of years ago about a girl who was on a Tinder date, went back to the dude's place, did a huge shit, wouldn't flush, and she tried to throw it out the window, but it was like a double paned window and it got stuck between them.
Yeah, yeah, I remember
that fucking rules.
I might be misremembering, but I think then she got stuck in the window trying to fish it out or something.
Yeah, that's cool as hell.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shits and Tinder, right?
Yeah, man, I love.
Man,
shit.
I would have. Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would have done
I
anything.
I wish I needed to shit now so that I could go take one.
It's like you could throw the shit on the ceiling. Like you could do anything.
It's common Electra. Yeah,
you could literally bring it out and be like, "Can we please do this?" Yeah. Like, and show it to her.
Yeah, just be like, "Look, I don't know." I'd just be like, "Look, I don't know what to tell you. I just clogged your toilet. Please, still touch it."
It's also like kind of. I like Mike still sucks in this episode. But the idea that he throws away sex with Carmen Electra because he's embarrassed about his own like bodily function.
I'm just going to Google
it. It's probably like at least
Electra
a more...
you do that in your own time. We've got very little time
left. It's a more humble mic, I would say.
Yeah, but still, like, Carmen Electra is fucking fantastic acting in this. Like, she's hitting her mark. She knows, she's clearly a professional. And Eddie
Kay
Thomas just looks like a fucking amateur compared to
her. Yeah, he's a real... I think, like, we've talked about it a lot.
Actor.
But I think it's just like they... It's... He's not that character. Like, he needs to be a weirder guy. Like, he needs to be,
he's
like...
way better at Shipwreck.
Yeah, like, if he was, like, the weird across the whole name... Like, if he was the character he's in Harold and Kumar.
Yeah, I just Googled Carmen Electra 2002, and it's like... Whatever, you do just whatever.
It's like Boner Christmas.
Jesus Christ.
One thing, like... And this is, like, giving this sitcom far too much credit. When, like, I'm saying it's good, it's, like... It's crazy... how much rope you give it based on the terrible first season. But like, I was so impressed that they use foreshadowing with like with the fact that like Liz is like a throwaway line where she's like, yeah, I got him into that Cillian Husk stuff. And then like, obviously from my Sherlock Holmesian powers of deduction, I was like, oh, I think Liz took the dump, but,
I wasn't paying close enough attention.
Hold on.
Just for the listener, Jamie pulled out a little corn cob pipe and a little hat.
Yeah.
Guys, great news. My tax return came through.
It would have been...
Does anyone want to buy any cocaine with me right now?
No.
I'm actually not spending any on cocaine. I'm not taking stimulants for a few weeks.
Good, you shouldn't do that. We don't have long left.
Well, yeah, the only thing I wanted to say about this episode, I think that it was a pretty cool shot, them doing, like, the looking into the toilet seat. I think
it's nice when they do something different.
Yeah. And in that moment with the three guys, you can tell that any one of them were just about to break. Like, you can see John Cho's, like, doing that thing where you suck in your cheeks and Ewan's, like, biting his lip crazy.
Yeah.
Shall we writers room it quickly for a minute?
Do we have time?
Yes.
Like, I need to be out of here in like a few minutes.
Well, I shouldn't ask Hastings.
Is it literally across the road?
No, it's further up the road.
Nah, it's a bit further.
Fair enough. Well, all right. Here's my. All right, I'll tell you what. I'll do a real quick writers room for you.
I have a pitch.
Mine is don't change a thing.
I want to do...
Okay. Rose, if you can live with that, we can go.
You guys give you quick pitches.
I want to do one where...
I think cancel the show.
I want to do one where Mike is desperate to do an image rehab because he's aware that he... Like, for some reason, like it is kind of like a meta thing, but he finds out the focus groups find him unlikable. And he thinks that the way to do it is to get a kicky new haircut like Ewan. And he becomes obsessed with the haircut while still being an awful piece of shit. And like... making people mad while trying to get the haircut and eventually getting the haircut, then becoming upset that the haircut does nothing.
Yep, nice. Mm-hmm. Are you implying anything about my new haircut?
I'm not talking about you at all.
Are you? Because I got a haircut yesterday.
I'm talking about Ewan's.
It's like a pretty new dramatic haircut. Like, this
talking about
haircut
Ewan's kicky new haircut. You're wearing a fucking hat,
this
motherfucker.
Isn't a hairstyle I've had. This is like brand new.
People can't even see the haircut. Move on.
I have a pitch.
Guys, when you're talking about Mike, are you actually talking about me? Like,
you don't have time for your pitch. You wasted yours.
I don't have much of a pitch.
Rose,
I think.
Just go. We'll record without you.
Yeah, we can finish up.
No, you're in my home.
In the blast hole.
Yeah, we know how to get out.
Yeah. My pitch
or maybe we'll stay a while.
No, I don't trust that.
I'll do my pitch in 1 second. They all go on a road trip except Mike. So Liz, Status, Cho, and Ewan all go on a road trip together. You get some time with the boys.
That kind of is a Friends episode already.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's not like a tense thing. Like, you don't reference the breakup. Mike just has a B plot.
Yeah, I like
got
that.
He's got a kooky date or something. He's got something happen at work. Whatever. Mike's B plot going on. You get the way you establish Liz as her own character is you put her in a situation with all the other characters without him, and then on top of that, you get more of this like Status and Ewan, Cho. Like Cho gets a lot of time in that episode. You get to flesh out all the characters around Ewan and Liz a bit more, while also getting Liz a bit of her own platform.
Yes, cool. I spoke too soon, actually.
We don't have time.
Well, you shouldn't have fucking agreed to take a gig.
make Mike 50% more insecure. That's my
pitch. I was just saying that like Liz sucks in this episode, but she doesn't always. Like when she hangs out with everyone else but Mike, you kind of see why. Like, yeah, she's still there. And I thought that was charming. That's all.
Elliot, pitch a story.
No, that was it. Like, I like the ideas that you've had about, like, recasting Mike as the Muslim and everything. But, like, I think, yeah, either make his character, it can still be Eddie K. Thomas, is 50% more insecure, or fucking replace him outright. Because
yeah,
he's
agree with that.
My least favorite part of any of this. And, like, maybe I should check out some season one to see what you guys are saying about Ewan as well. Because, like, I liked him in all of these.
Watch it all.
Yeah, Ewan's unbearable in season one. All right. We done?
Yeah.
Plugs. Go see Rose's gig in 45 seconds.
Run to Cleveland Street.
Plug away.
Oh, right. Yeah, as said earlier, I host the Simpsons Index, but we've just launched a new series called Pop Fury Radio. Me and my Simpsons Index co-host, BT, he wrote a bunch of like these radio plays, and we got some amazing actors in, and sort of we're taking like old world radio aesthetics and doing modern stories with them. And we've got an episode out now. It's a sci-fi horror alien invasion story called It Came from the Bottom of the Ocean, but also from Space. And we were talking about Harry Potter as well. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have one that's like a piss take on the whole Hogwarts universe. It's just asking a simple question. What happened to the D students of Hogwarts?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you go to this school, you get this degree in, you know...
They work in the magic bean factory.
Yeah. Birdie bots. Yeah, so we're asking what happened to the Someone's D students of Hogwarts. Because, you know, you can't use your degree in the muggle world. Yeah. What do you go into? Magic insurance?
Yeah.
And that's what they do. And it's, yeah. So, yeah, Pop Fury Radio.
Check it out. Elliot's great at podcasting. Check out his shit. Especially, I reckon if you like this podcast, you probably like The Simpsons. So fuck.
We'll probably already listen to it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
This lot was on episode 160 of The Simpsons Index.
I did another one with B. Barber Skirla, friend of the show.
B. Barber who? Nah, he's great.
And yeah, Rose and
B. Episodes of this show.
Rose and B were on episode 169.
Yeah, which we pointed out immediately. Which I bet
you two look so jealous right now.
Mostly because I wanted to be on the Rey Mysterio episode.
I'm mad. I'm mad now.
I made that joke when...
169's a bus from the city to Narrowena.
Dude, when we did Lisa's Wedding, because that's episode season 6, episode 19, I made that exact joke. It's Rey Mysterio's episode. Sorry, I know you have to go.
Who's that jumping out the sky? It's Lisa Simpson.
Booyaka, booyaka.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, good.
Do you guys have any plugs?
No.
At Andrew Hastings on Twitter, I'm thinking about quitting comedy.
Okay, at Roselle's Piper, Twitter, Instagram, follow us. Facebook, we'll just tell your mother we add it all. Twitter, we add it all. Instagram, we add it all. Podcast, like, share, subscribe, all that shit.
Send me indie game recommendations on Jamie Kirk Comedy on Twitter. Bye. Bye. To the next step.
To the next step.
To the next step.
It's coming, Electra.